Santa Monica takes on the FAA again. Cirrus celebrates 10 years of the SR-20. And Sturgill on the future of aviation safety. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, November 30th, 2007. The City Council of Santa Monica, California, has voted to confront the Federal Aviation Administration over jet traffic at Santa Monica Airport. The council approved an ordinance on Tuesday which prohibits jets with landing speeds higher than 121 knots from using Santa Monica, which the FAA calls an important reliever airport. This confrontation is not new. A similar city ordinance in 1979 resulted in litigation by the FAA, settled in 1984, by an agreement which the FAA claims leaves the airport open to larger, faster jets through 2015. But jet traffic is up nearly fourfold since 1994, and Santa Monica has homes within 300 feet of the ends of its only runway, which is oriented 3-2-1 and less than 5,000 feet long. The FAA says the answer is for the city to buy out those homeowners. Mayor Richard Bloom told the Santa Monica Lookout News, quote, "We support letting people keep their homes, and taking away housing when there is another reasonable alternative is offensive and absurd," unquote. The result of this latest showdown may be congressional funding for airport improvements. In any event, operators of bigger, faster Class C and D jets, including six of them based at the airport, don't have to sweat it right away. The FAA is expected to get an injunction, and the last time this happened, a resolution took 5 years. 2008 will mark the 10th anniversary of the certification of the Cirrus SR-20. To celebrate, Cirrus plans to unveil the SR-20 Generation 3. Brand new from nose to tail, the SR-20 is available to order with deliveries beginning in early January. Cirrus Chairman and CEO Alan Clapmeyer spoke out on the significance of the plane. Quote, "When the SR-20 was certified in 1998, it literally shook up the whole industry and put us on the map. Until then, we were thought of as a kit manufacturer. But when the industry took note of the SR-20's incredible design, as well as its many innovations and safety features, they knew we were a force to be reckoned with. Soon, other manufacturers started to copy us," unquote. Like the G3 version of the SR-22, the SR-20 G3 will move to a carbon fiber wing spar. The new plane will have a redesigned and longer wing for increased performance and payload, a 200-horsepower Continental power plant, and a 49-inch wide leather-trimmed cabin. The company says the many improvements come with no net increase in weight. He's only the acting administrator of the FAA for now, but Robert Sturgill sounded comfortable in the seat as he spoke on Thursday morning before the 4th annual FAA International Safety Forum, now underway in Virginia. Sturgill urged attendees to get behind the idea of implementing safety management systems in their respective operations as a method to, quote, "raise the bar worldwide no matter where you go," unquote. Sturgill was pretty blunt in his assessment of the need for SMS. Quote, "Aviation no longer is in the business of combing through ashes and wreckage to find answers. SMS will give us the intelligence we need before the problem reaches the headlines. When it comes to risks, the low-hanging fruit is long gone. SMS uses hard data to point us in the direction we need to go. We don't have to wait for something bad to happen. Let me emphasize that with SMS, everything is interdependent. The true value comes when data are shared, not isolated. There's no place in safety for secrets. The challenge now is up to you. I encourage you to make the most of the information you'll be hearing. Thank you," unquote. A complete transcript of Sturgill's remarks can be found at aero-news.net. Airlines in the United States are looking forward to claiming 2007 as their first profitable year since 2000. But the head of the International Air Transport Association cautioned U.S. carriers not to celebrate too much. Reuters reports that in a speech Wednesday to the Washington Aero Club, Giovanni Bisignani warned the bubble could burst due to a number of factors, in particular, labor unrest and credit woes. Quote, "Unfortunately, as the industry shows even fragile profitability, labor starts to look for a free lunch. Already, we've seen strikes from France to Japan. Several key U.S. contracts will be negotiated next year. If labor pursues an agenda as an irresponsible adversary, our common future is limited," unquote. Bisignani also warned U.S. carriers which were reluctant to order new aircraft in 2006 and 2007 that they may find manufacturers unable to fill any new orders for several years. Bisignani summed it up for the Associated Press, quote, "The industry is out of intensive care, but the industry is not financially healthy," unquote. Up next on ANN, the Air Force regrounds a bunch of F-15s. It's cheaper, it's better, but the FAA doesn't want it. And China's military opens more civilian airspace. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 30th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Well, that didn't last long. 1 week after the U.S. Air Force lifted its grounding of the oldest F-15 Eagle fighters in its fleet, on Wednesday the jets were grounded again due to what officials termed possible fleet-wide airworthiness problems. As ANN reported, the Air Force grounded all F-15s, including newer F-15E Strike Eagles, following the November 2nd crash of a Missouri Air National Guard F-15C. Investigators say in-flight structural failure was the cause. The pilot was able to eject, sustaining non-life-threatening injuries. Air Force officials allowed F-15Es to resume active duty assignments in Iraq and Afghanistan November 14th. Older models were allowed to resume flying November 21st. Now, officials say the ongoing investigation has revealed a potential problem throughout the F-15 fleet. Investigators are concerned with longerons, or metal rails, that hold the F-15 fuselage together. Those parts were flagged by investigators early on, as officials ordered the entire fleet of F-15s inspected for possible airframe fatigue damage. The latest grounding applies to 452 older F-15s. That's more than 60% of the U.S. Air Force Eagle fleet, until each can be inspected and, if necessary, repaired. A long evaluation process has resulted in three proposals for dealing with rapidly growing traffic at Palm Beach International Airport in Florida. One of those plans is to do nothing, which of course has its appeal to NIMBYs. But of the other two plans, one is favored by airport management and one by the FAA. The airport's plan would leave the northern parallel runway, 9 left, 27 right, in its current form at 10,000 feet long. Move the south parallel runway, which is only 3,000 feet long, another 100 feet south, so it could be extended to 8,000 feet, and shorten the intersecting runway, 1331, from 6,900 feet to about 4,000. The FAA's favored plan would eliminate runway 1331 completely and build a new, second, 10,000-foot north parallel runway north of the current north runway. The FAA's plan would require tearing down terminals, pouring much more concrete, and cost $629 million, or about $260 million more than the airport's plan. What's more, given growth projections, by 2018, the FAA's design would already be back at 92% capacity, while the airport's own less expensive plan would be at 62%, with lots of room for growth remaining. So, if one plan is both cheaper and better, why is there even a discussion? Jackie Sweat Essick, FAA Regional Environmental Program Manager, told the Sun Sentinel newspaper, quote, "One may have less capacity, but the environmental costs may be less," unquote. The paper reports the FAA will conduct some more study, then present a choice to the Palm Beach County Commission for a yay or nay vote. The government of China this week took steps to make the nation's skies a little friendlier for the 2008 Summer Olympics in Beijing. The military, which controls air traffic there, has opened enough restricted airspace to nearly double the flight levels available to civilian aircraft between 28,000 and 41,000 feet. The Wall Street Journal reports that before the change, only 30% of Chinese airspace was open to non-military flights, making it among the most restricted airspaces in the world. Military control of airspace can lead to unpredictable commercial airline performance, and China is no exception. Last week, the paper reports sudden unexplained airspace restrictions over eastern China imposed by the military with no warning resulted in disruptions to the travel plans of 7,000 passengers on 150 commercial flights. Over 2 million additional flyers are expected in the skies over China during the Olympics next year. The sale of 160 Airbus planes to China, announced on Monday, includes a memo of understanding to allow Chinese industry to build 5% of the airframe for the forthcoming Airbus A350 XWB. Airbus says the MOU was signed on Monday by Chen Deming, Vice Minister of China's National Development and Reform Commission, and Fabrice Breguet, Chief Operating Officer of Airbus, during a visit by French President Nicolas Sarkozy. In addition to gaining sales leverage for EADS in China, the arrangement also aligns well with Airbus's stated need to move some of its production out of Europe, where the U.S. dollar's collapse against the euro is putting the manufacturer at a competitive disadvantage to Boeing. As ANN reported, China will buy 110 A320s and 40 A330s under the deal announced on Monday. China Southern Airlines signed a contract with Airbus for another 10 A330s. Still ahead, biodiesel, the next generation. A Florida airport gets a free high-tech security system. And a funny old law spoils the fun for LA politicians. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design. Maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, November 30th, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. A Portuguese oil company, Galp Energia, says it will build a plant to make diesel fuel from vegetable oils. Output will be 6,500 barrels a day, using a refining process much like the one used for petroleum oil. The method was developed by Honeywell subsidiary UOP and Eni, the Italian energy company. Hydrogen is added to oils derived from food crops. The company says the result is superior to ordinary diesel fuel. Eventually, Galp hopes to make the oil from algae or from jatropha, a hardy Central American shrub. UOP says diesel engines using the new fuel will cut CO2 emissions by up to 70%, and that the plant-derived fuel is superior to the biodiesel already being made in the U.S. The New York Times reports that UOP is researching using the process to make jet fuel from the same feedstock. It's thought European airlines would jump at the chance to buy a more environmentally friendly fuel. Galp says the cost for the fuel currently exceeds petroleum-based diesel, but volume production could make it competitive. The Panama City Bay County International Airport in Florida appears to have negotiated a great price for a new experimental perimeter security system. Free! The Panama City News Herald reports the airport authority got an offer too good to turn down. The Transportation Security Administration wanted to test a new system developed by the Naval Surface Warfare Center. TSA Deputy Federal Security Director David Vernon told the authority, quote, "You will have a very robust core system that your folks will be using at no cost to the airport," unquote. All the airport had to do was agree to let technicians on the property to install and evaluate the system. Unlike ordinary security systems, which require guards to watch a wall of monitors, the new system uses motion detectors and other sensors to alert the humans when something is amiss. The airport is scheduled to be replaced by a new one, currently under construction in West Bay, sometime in 2010. The good news is, the feds say they intend to transfer the new high-tech security system to the new airport when it opens. What if you were offered a free introductory ride on the Airbus A380, only to find out doing so would violate a century-old railroad law. That's what happened to Los Angeles politicians on Thursday. It seems that 100 years or so ago, railroads would offer free rides to politicians to court their favor. To avoid any conflict of interest, California enacted a state law which bars any politician from accepting free transportation. Since the 1980s, that's also been applied to airlines. It means that Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, who pushed to get Los Angeles International upgraded to handle A380 flights, had to watch journalists and business leaders have all the fun on the promotional flight, or risk forfeiting his office. The Los Angeles Times calls the application of the law arcane, and who can argue with them? I mean, it's not like Airbus is trying to use free promotional flights to influence politicians or anything. Nod, nod, wink, wink. Finally, most U.S. airline execs are aghast at oil costing $90 a barrel. But over at Southwest Airlines, company treasurer Scott Topping tells the New York Times, quote, "We're not sure what to root for," unquote. See, over the past few years, Southwest did something no other U.S. airline did. It bought long-term contracts to lock in oil prices, which at the time seemed risky. Being guaranteed jet fuel costs based on oil at $51 a barrel didn't seem so smart 2 years ago. But now, Southwest will be paying that rate, while competitors deal with oil which has flirted with double that cost. Through the end of 2009, the fuel hedging may allow Southwest a $2 billion profit, while its competitors scrape by. But like many things, this good thing won't last forever. Southwest has other costs to control, and management admits it must use this temporary advantage to find permanent cost reductions and revenue enhancements. The Times suggests that Southwest's best hope might be that the management of other airlines will stumble again. I don't know. That sounds like a long shot to me. That's the latest from Aero News. Don't miss the ANN special feature today. You'll hear Jim Campbell's exclusive interview with Cessna CEO Jack Pelton on topics including Cessna's successful bid for Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing. And if you haven't done so yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.